Still gonna give it to your brother?
Yes. You don't have to stay.
Are you going to hard out tonight?
Yes, and it's only after my... Okay.
How many pages?
It's 2 pages, but it's not in order, so you'll have to sort of sift it out.
Gimel and Dalet also?
Yeah, there'll be Gimel and Dalet. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim Siman Tov Chaf Ches, he paskins that we must read Parshas Bamidbar before Shavuos. And this is based on a Gemara at the end of Masechta Megillah. The Gemara tells us that Ezra Sofer Tikein Yisrael Likro Es HaTochochos Sheveparshas B'chukosai B'toras Kohanim. So the last parsha in Vayikra is the Tochacha B'chukosai Lifnei Chag HaShavuos. We have to read it before Chag HaShavuos. So technically speaking, according to the Gemara, it would seem that the last parsha before Shavuos would be B'chukosai. But we'll see that that's not so. We definitely have to read B'chukosai before we get to Shavuos, but we're going to require the reading of another parsha as a wedge between the klolos of B'chukosai and Chag HaShavuos. And that wedge is going to be Parshas Bamidbar. Now Ezra made another takona. There's another set of tochachos, which is towards the end of Mishneh Torah, of Sefer Dvarim. And that's in Parshas Kisavo. That has to be read before Aleph Tishrei, before Rosh Hashanah, the New Year. And the principle of the Gemara is called Kedei Shetichle Hashanah V'Kiloseha. We want to get the clothes behind us. You know, they sort of are pinned to last year so that we can now be clear for the new year. Again, the Gemara goes back and forth about B'chukosai, because how could it be that B'chukosai is meant to be attached to the previous year? B'chukosai is before Chag HaShavuos. That's not the new year. And the Gemara says no, Rosh Hashanah is not just Aleph Tishrei, but even Chag HaShavuos has certain dimensions of Rosh Hashanah as far as Peros HaIlon are concerned and so forth. Now Tosis looks at our minog and he finds that our minog is that it's not that B'chukosai comes immediately before Chag HaShavuos, but rather we read Parshas Bamidbar after B'chukosai before Chag HaShavuos. So Tosfos says, what's the deeper meaning behind this, that underlies this minhag? Lefishanu rotzim lahafsik v'likro Shabbos achas kodem Rosh Hashanah. We need some sort of parasha that is completely neutral in a sense, that has no vestige of klala, and that's going to project us into Rosh Hashanah. Why? Kedei shelo lahasmich haklolos Rosh Hashanah. In other words, even if the klolos are in last year before Rosh Hashanah, but nevertheless they're so close to Rosh Hashanah, then if in a certain sense they spill over into Rosh Hashanah. We don't want that to happen. So we need some sort of a buffer zone, and that buffer zone is Mitam Zonu Korim, says Tosfos, Bamidbar Sinai Korim Atzeres. So the parsha of Bamidbar Sinai is going to be read after B'chukosai, after the klolos, before Chag Atzeres, Kedei Shelo Lahasmich HaKlolos Shebichukosai LaAtzeres. So this has been going on for thousands of years, this minhag, based on the Takon of Ezra, that Parshas Bamidbar is read before Chag HaShavuos. Now, could we add another parsha before Chag HaShavuos? Possibly, at least only in Eretz Yisrael that could happen, not in Chutz Laretz. So this year, for example, the last parsha we're going to read before Chag HaShavuos is Parshas Noso, but in Chutz Laretz, the last parsha before Chag HaShavuos is always Bamidbar, Chok V'lo Yavar. And this is going to be what he calls the chatzitza, to wedge between the klolos of Parshas B'chukosai and the Zman Matan Torah Seder. So what we want to do is, and that's what this unit, this study unit is dedicated to, is to try to understand what is it in Parshas Bamidbar that, in a sense, terminates the klolos but projects us forward into Zman Matan Torah Seder. What messages are inherent in Parshas Bamidbar that prepare us for Matan Torah. And he begins with a statement in the Zohar. The Zohar says that Shabbos always has an impact on the week to come. So let's say we're up to the Shabbos before Shavuos. Something on Shabbos, on that last Shabbos before Shavuos, is going to have an impact on Chag HaShavuos. So in other words, there's like the great light of Chag HaShavuos, but there's going to be a Shabbos before that that's going to project us towards that light. So therefore, in the context of this Zohar, we have to understand what's the remez, what's inherent in Parshas Bamidbar that is going to prepare us for Matan Torah Seinu and Chag HaShavuos. Ostensibly, when you read Parshas Bamidbar, you find out that the Jews went through the desert and they had a counting, numbers, they took a census, and they go through all the different Shvatim and how many. What does this have to do with Chag HaShavuos? How does the Shabbos of Bamidbar impact or shed a light and project us towards Zman Matan Torah Seinu? So the first thing he finds is the word Bamidbar itself. There's a tremendous and profound meaning symbolically to the word Bamidbar. It's a remez to Midas Anova. Why? Because as the Gemara points out in Erevin, a Midbar is a makom shakol doshim bo. Everybody steps on the ground of the Midbar, and there's nothing growing there. And in a sense, what the Midbar symbolizes, and the message that it conveys, is that a person should make himself like a Midbar. Shakol Doshimbo, that's the Midah of humility. And in the Gemara's language, on the Pasuk in Bamid, it says, Midbar Matana. Matana is a reference to Torah. Im Adam Mesim Atzmo Kemidbar Zesha Kol Doshim Bo Torah Nitna Lo B'Matana. So when the Torah says we Midbar Matana, means if you'll imitate the Midbar and you'll personify the Midah, the attribute, the moral attribute of the Midbar, namely humility, then Matana HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the greatest gift, and that's Torah. So the precondition for Torah is going to be Anava, humility. And that means we are similar to the Midbar. We're taking the message of the Midbar to heart and imitating that Midah of Anova. Now, number two, how many psukim are there in the Parsha Bamidbar? So if you look at the end of the Parsha, you'll see that there's 159. Now, if you take the letters of 159, they form the word Katan, which means a remez on Midas Anova, like Yaakov Avinu is the personification of humility, and he says about himself, Katonti mikol chasadim, I don't deserve all the chesed Hashem that you've bestowed upon him. And the Pasuk says at the end of Tanakh, Mi Yakum Yaakov, what gives Yaakov his stance, meaning his chus, that he's able to be the Yaakov that he was, ki katan hu. The Pasuk itself says, because he's katan, meaning he held himself by Nova to the bechin of a katan. And Parshas Bamidbar represents katan, the mid of Anov, because katan is the exact number of psukim in Parshas Bamidbar. Let's take this a step further. The whole idea of Chag Matan Torah Seinu, of standing at Har Sinai, is in order to receive the Torah from the Shekhinah, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, the first two Dibros we heard directly from the Shekhinah. Now, true that Har Sinai was an experience, a powerful experience of closeness, revelation to Shekhinah, but in my daily life, what can I do to have sort of a duplicate kind of a microcosm, at least, of that experience of Matan Torah, namely of an encounter with the Shekhinah? Well, the answer to this question lies in a pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi. And Yeshayahu says the following: Ki ko amar Rav v'nisa shochinad v'kadoshmo. Here's what the great, lofty, infinite being Shochinad, who exists in eternity, sanctity, here's what he declares: Marom v'kadosh eshkon, but v'zdaka v'shval ruach. Even though I dwell up on top, Marom, in the high, lofty places, but also at the same time, eshkon v'daka v'shval ruach, my Shechina is there with someone who's dako shval ruach, someone who is humble. So in order to achieve this experience of Shechina, what we need is the midah of humility. And the Gemara tells us in the Sefer Brachos that even if one person is studying Torah, the Shechina is there with him. Kol mocha v'sher azkir shmi, avo elecha uberachticha. In other words, if a person wants to achieve bracha, which is the opposite of klala, and that's exactly what we're trying to achieve when we read Bamidbar as the last kriya before Chag HaShavuos, to in a sense detonate the bomb, you know, all the to neutralize all the powerful forces of Parshas Bechukos to the close, we need bracha. So how do we achieve bracha? Well, in order to achieve bracha, we need shechina. Because the pasuk says Kol Makom Asher Azkir Shmi, meaning whenever there is Torah, there is Shechina, and Avo Lechu Berachticha, God says I will bestow my blessing upon you, and that will counter against the klalos. So somehow we have to achieve Torah, and through Torah we're going to achieve Shechina, and through Shechina we're going to achieve bracha, and then we're going to undermine klalos. So how do we achieve? How do we get this whole domino theory? And the answer is through the midah of anava. If we make ourselves like the midbar, asher kol dashin olav, if we take the psukim of katan, then Hashem says, eshkon, I will be amongst you. And if I'm amongst you, then there's bracha, because wherever there's shechina, there's bracha. Because kol makom asher azkir shmi, whenever there's shechina of avo elecha uberachticha, there'll be bracha, and that bracha will undermine the klala. So we need to get to shechina. How do we get this close relationship to shechina? It's through anava. The opposite of anava, the antithesis, is gasus ruach, someone who's so full of himself. And the Gemara says about such a person, HaKadosh Baruch says, I can't live together with him. I will not live in the same world with a gas ruach. There's no coexistence. There's no way that God could tolerate. Because if Shechina depends upon daka ushval ruach, then the antithesis of Shechina, God is allergic, so to speak, he runs away from a gas ruach. Hashem will therefore run away and remove all his brachos. So the way to get a klala would be to be a gas ruach. And the Gemara in Sota actually identifies a gas ruach as if he were an idol worshipper, as if he is kofer b'ikar. He makes himself into a god. As the pasuk says in Dvarim, v'rom levavcha v'shachachtos Hashem, okay, when you're all full of yourself, you will forget God. And if you forget God, there's no shechina. If there's no shechina, there's no bracha. And therefore, we have to run away from gasus ruach as far as we can, just like God himself runs away from a gas ruach. You know, there's a famous story about the Belzer Rebbe, not this Belzer Rebbe, I mean the previous Belzer Rebbe. He was in Europe, and at one point he needed a place to stay for Shabbos. And there were two individuals, maybe they were Belzer Hasidim, I don't know, in the shtetl that invited the Belzer Rebbe. And the Rebbe had to decide which one he should take up on his offer. One of them was quite poor, but he was a big anav. The other one was quite wealthy, and he could certainly afford, you know, give the Rebbe a royal treatment, but he was a gas ruach. He was real full of himself. So the Rebbe said, I would rather go to stay by the one who's poor. Even, by the way, if his level of kashrus was not necessarily up to par, but he's an anav. I can't stay by this rich guy because he's a gasruach. And just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu can't tolerate and coexist with the gasruach, I can't live with the gasruach. So now we see that Parshas Bamidbar is the appropriate parasha to serve as a chatzitz, a wedging between the klolos and Chag HaShavuos of Matan Torah. If Matan Torah is all about Shechina, and we have to therefore completely neutralize all the klolos of Parshas B'chukosa, well, Bamidbar is going to reveal to us and impress upon us the key to succeed in Bracha by achieving Hashros Hashchina. And how is that? Through the Katan Psukim, through being coming like a Midbar, through identifying or personifying the Midah of Hanova. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to give the Torah. On which mountain? Surely on Mount Everest or Jungfrau or some sort of, you know, some gigantic mountain. No. The Gemara says that God deliberately chose one of the, if not the lowest mountains, and that's Har Sinai. Says the Gemara, Li'olam Yilamed Adam Midas Yilmod Adam Midas Kono, a person should imitate God. God loves Nemichus, those who are low, meaning those who are Shval Ruach, and they personify humility. And therefore he left all the great mountains in the world, and he was Mashu Shechina on Har Sinai to give the Torah. We have to imitate Hashem. So if we're preparing for Kabbalah HaTorah and we want to receive the Torah, then just like the Torah was received on the lowest mountain, we have to exhibit this behavior, this ethical trait of, so to speak, lowliness, meaning of anova. Now there's another dimension of Parshas Bamidbar which has to be emphasized. And here we turn to page 2. One of the central, if not the central themes of Parshas Bamidbar is what we call the census. And that's why the book is called Numbers, right? Because Hashem commands Moshe to take a census of the people of Israel. And we're asking the following question. The pasuk says at the beginning of Sefer Midbar, "Daber Hashem al Moshe b'Midbar Sinai b'ol Moed v'chol l'chosh Hashem b'shar Hashem seis Mitzrayim, se'u es rosh kol adas b'nei Yisrael, count every head of Israel, l'mishpachosam, l'beis avosam." Is there any connection here between the mitzvah of Se'u es Rosh Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, the counting of the people, and the giving of the Torah? Because this point you missed before, that our minhag, the Tosa says, is to read Bamidbar before Kabbalah HaTorah. So what is it about Bamidbar, Se'u es Rosh Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, that links us or projects us into Kabbalah HaTorah? Now, the last pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, in Parshas B'chukose, Eile ha-mitzvos asher tzivah Hashem es Moshe el b'nei Yisrael b'har Sinai. So we're already at Har Sinai, at the end of Vayikra, and now the immediate next pasuk at the beginning of Bamidbar is Se'u es Rosh Adas b'nei Yisrael. What's the connection here between Har Sinai, which represents Kabbalah HaTorah, and the pasuk, the mitzvah of Se'u es Rosh Kol Adas b'nei Yisrael, the census? Not only that, we can even go beyond that. What's the connection between reading about the census and the mitzvah of Se'u es Rosh B'nei Yisrael right before Chag HaShavuos, right before our great experience of receiving the Torah at Har Sinai? So in order to give an answer, a little bit of an answer to this question, we're going to take a look at the Medrash, the Alkut Shimoni, at the very beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. The Yalkut describes the situation of jealousy on the part of the nations of the world that Klal Yisrael received the Torah. There are many different statements in Chazal, different approaches, different versions about this friction. We're going to study one of them. Again, you may know 10 others, but that's not relevant to us tonight. Shivim Panim LaTorah, we're studying this Medrash, and this Medrash has a very unique approach to the answer that God gives to the Umos HaOlam. Again, you may know other answers, but if you don't mind, just leave them out of your mind. Just, I want you to have a tabula rasa, you know, an empty slate. The Medrash says that the nations of the world came forward with an argument. Why did you choose this nation of Israel? What makes them so special? And you were makariv them, you brought them close to you more than any other nation in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives an answer. This Medrash is a very unique Medrash. He challenges the nations of the world. Heviu li sefer yuchsin shalahem. Now again, if I would take this Medrash literally, it would mean to say the following: that a guy, a non-Jew, can tell you who his father was, maybe his grandfather, but at some point he loses it. Why? Because there's so much marriage here, there, and elsewhere, and unfortunately sometimes out of wedlock. You need a Sefer Yuchsin. A Sefer Yuchsin is a document that absolutely gives evidence, absolute evidence, to the purity of the family, of the lineage. And the Medrash builds its case on a pasuk in Tehillim, Havu Lashem Mishpachos Amin. Havu Lashem means God turns to the nations, and he says, Havu, bring me something. Something that's mishpachos. Can you tell me your family? Can you tell me who is the head of your family? Not just today, but yesterday and the day before yesterday, going back for generations. I once saw a film, not a film, I guess you'd call it like an educational video that was prepared by Rabbi Kellerman. Have you ever heard of Rabbi Kellerman? He wrote a book called Permission to Believe. He's written many books. Contemporary. And in this little video, he shows you a Jew who's at the Kotel, and he meets another Jew, and the Jew asks him his name. Now this other Jew who asks him his name apparently is like some sort of Eliyahu HaNavi kind of figure, I don't know. And on the screen, what you see is after the man answers him and gives him his name, let's say his name was Levinstein or whatever his name is, he traces 40 generations back. And he tells him who his great, 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 etc., etc., 40 generations back. They say about Rav Yonis and Eibishitz that he held on to a document that traced them back to David HaMelech. You know, this is something that's, in a very unique way, is a Shtar Yuchsin or a Sefer Yuchsin. Now, how do we know that Klal Yisrael were able to produce a Shtar Yuchsin? Well, that's what Sefer Bamidbar, especially Parshas Bamidbar, is all about. Because the pasuk says, "Vayisyaldu al mishpachosa," and it tells you about the leda of all the members of the family going back for generations. And this is counted right here at the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar to link it up with the last pasuk in Sefer Vayikra, which is just the previous pasuk, which ends with the words Bahar Sinai, to tell you that why did Hashem give the Torah to Klal Yisrael Bahar Sinai? And the answer is because Vayidabar Hashem b'midbar Sinai se'u'es rosh kol hadas b'nei Yisrael le'mishpachosam, that we, the Jewish people, at the beginning of Bamidbar, in the Midbar, were able to produce this document of Yuchsin, and that's why at the end of Parshas Bechukosai, the mitzvos were granted to Klal Yisrael Behar Sinai. Behar Sinai are the last two words in Sefer Vayikra. Now, this certainly is a very striking relationship between Parshas Bamidbar and Chag HaShavuos, the Zman Matan Torah Seinu. It's only because of the senses and the Shtar Yuchsin of Parshas Bamidbar that we were able to achieve Kabbalah HaTorah on Shavuos. That I understand. However, even though the Medrash establishes this rule that we were zocha to the Torah amongst the nations of the world because of Ashtar Yuchsin, nevertheless, we don't understand. Okay, there's a Sefer Yuchsin. You know, it's like, you know, some people sell, you know, they buy a dog and they say it's a pedigree dog. You know, I can tell you who the Alter Zeder this dog was. You know, I can trace him back for generations. Okay, fine. But is that why a person deserves Torah? Let's see if I were to tell you, I have a friend who can trace 36 generations of Rabbanim. 36 generations back. So does that mean that he has a better shot at Torah than you or I? Well, the Gemara says no. It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Haskein atzvecha l'lumod Torah. Prepare yourself for Torah. She'en Yerushalacha. Torah is not something that's given in Yerusha. You know, you don't inherit Torah. Your father could have been the greatest gadol, and his father was the Rashi Bahag, and so forth and so on. Doesn't mean a thing. It all depends upon you. That's called Yichus Atzmi. You start Yuchsin. So they say that Rav Yonis and Avishis had a Shtar Yuchsin, but it was burnt in a fire. So he got up in front of his community. He says, I promise I will be the first in the Shtar Yuchsin, and I'm going to start a new Shtar Yuchsin. It all depends on yourself. So with all due respect, you know, Esav could also claim Yuchsin, but right, but what's the difference between Esav and Yaakov? You know, is Yaakov is Yaakov and Esav is Esav. And you can go on and on with a million and one examples. So it's not who's your grandfather, but how do you choose your grandfather? That's really what's critical.
Although Hasidim tend to just inherit the Rebbe, you know, from one to the other.
But that's a different question. That's an issue of what's called Sraga. But I'm not talking about Sraga. I'm talking about Limud Torah. Greatness in Torah, receiving Torah, that depends on you. There's no way you can inherit Torah. You know, your father could have left you a shtar, a will, and a testament with all the money in the world and all the Torah in the world, but the Torah you're not going to get. That Torah you have to learn on your own. There's no inheritance in Torah. So we're going to put this question on the side, on the back burners. If you remember, I think I mentioned this too many times, that the method of the Shvilei Pinchas is to ask a question, and then he takes three pages and he goes through whatever he goes through, and then he finally at the end he comes back to answer the original question. Now he wants to study Rabbeinu Yaakov Baal HaTurim. Rabbeinu Yaakov Baal HaTurim offers a very fascinating introduction to his magnum opus. And in that introduction, he speaks about two brachos in tefillah. So if you open up the siddur, you will see that two continuous brachos have the word avinu. One is Hashivenu Avinu L'Sarasecha, and then it says Slach Lanu Avinu Ki Chatanu. So we have the bracha of Torah, Hashivenu Avinu L'Sarasecha, and we have the bracha of Slicha, the Bakash of Slicha, and in both cases we say Avinu. And this bothered the mind of the Tur. He wanted to understand what is unique about these two brachos. We don't find the word Avinu in any of the other tefillos, in any of the other bakashos. And he writes the following, which is...
What can involve tshuva? What can these involve...
Right, but he's focusing on the words Hashivenu Avinu L'Sarasecha. Mm-hmm. Why Torah? And he says the following, that when we plea in front of Hashem, we want to mention that God, you are our Father. And the Torah comes up with a pretty brilliant chiddush here. Why the emphasis on father? And he says the following. The Torah commands a father to teach his son Torah. V'limadetem es b'neichem. You have to teach your son Torah. That's a unique responsibility on the father. When we say to God in our tefillah, Hashivenu Avinu L'Sarasecha, what we're declaring is that God, you commanded the Father to teach Torah, but you are our Father, and therefore you have to fulfill that mitzvah as well. You have to guide us in our study of Torah. So again, if I would have said this to you, you would have said, it's a nice drasha, Rabbi Berzon, but this is the Torah. I mean, let's get serious here. Then the Torah wants to say that when we say Slach Lanu Avinu, once again we are touching upon or invoking God's relationship to the Jewish people as the Av, as the Father, because the Pasuk in Nach in Yeshayahu HaNavi says V'yoshuv el Hashem v'yirachameu, that Hashem is going to have rachmanut, he's going to have compassion. And we have a principle called Rachmei Ha'av, as David HaMelech says, Kirachem Av Al Bonim. We have to hope that Hashem will have the Rachmanus that, that a father will have for his children, and he forgives his children. So God, please, I'm invoking the fact that you are our father, you are our Av, and therefore Yashuvu El Hashem V'Yirachameihu. We expect and we hope that God, like a father who is very forgiving for his son, Kirachem Aval Bonim, you too, Hashem, will be forgiving of the people of Israel. So let's just summarize the incredible use of the word Avinu in two brachos according to the Torah. Number one, Ashivedu Avinu Sarasecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should be teaching us Torah like a father is obligated to teach us on Torah. And number two, please have compassion on us and accept our tshuva and bring us close to you, just like a father has compassion on his son. The Yerushalmi embellishes this. B'noik Shaba'olam Melech Basavadam goes Gzeira Ratzah Mekayim Ratzah Acherim Mekayim. Also, in a human king, we don't find that he necessarily fulfills his own decrees. He can decree it on others. Amal Kadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein. The Yerushalmi says that God is Gozer Gzeira, and He's the first one to be Mekayim it, as the Pasuk says in Vayikra, Vishamru es Mishmarti Ani Hashem, Ani Ushe Shamarti Mitzvosai, Tchila, I'm the one, the first one to fulfill the mitzvah that I give you. So if I gave you a mitzvah that's incumbent on a father to teach his son Torah, L'imaitam Asim Sbenechem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to fulfill that mitzvah as well. And the Taz says that's why in Birchas HaTorah we say Baruch Ata Hashem Nosein HaTorah. Why Nosein in Lashon Hoveh and not Nosan in Lashon Avar? Says the Taz in Sima Mem Zayin Birchas HaTorah, HaKavana Shehu Yisbach Nosein Lanu Tomid B'chol Yom Toraso, that God is bestowing His Torah upon us on a daily basis, and it means that Anu Oskim Ba, we in a sense present ourselves to Hashem by directing our energies towards the study of Torah, and Hashem is mamzi lanu tamim chadoshim. Hashem is the one who puts new ideas and new insights into our mind. It means that Hashem is teaching us Torah. So we think it's just our own intellectual efforts, but no, Hashem is bestowing on us new insights because He is the Nosein HaTorah in the Lashon Hoveh. So therefore, according to the Torah, getting back to the Torah, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha, and we start with the word Avinu, but then the theme seems to shift. The Karveinu Malkeinu L'Avodasecha, all of a sudden our relationship is not that of a son to a father, but rather of a subject to his king. We start with Avinu and we end with Malkeinu. And he says, "Are you all right? Wait, maybe go get a drink."
Okay.
He tries to explain this based on a pasuk in Vayikra Chafet says, "Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim." And yet there's another pasuk in Devarim that says, "Bodim atem l'Hashem elokeichem." We have a dual relationship with the Almighty. On the one hand, we're called Avodim, Kili B'nei Yisrael Avodim, and God is our Melech. On the other hand, Bonim Atem L'Hashem Melkeichem, we are children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avinu, but He's also at the same time Malkeinu. Therefore, we are like the children of a king, but we serve the king in two different capacities. In other words, when we serve the king, meaning the Almighty, we do so wearing two hats. On the one hand, we wear the hat of an Eved. We are absolutely dedicated to serve Hashem and fulfill His very mandate like a subject to His king. And that makes us into Avodim L'Hashem Elokeichem. But at the same time, we have another kind of relationship, of an Ava type of relationship. Not so much a Yira relationship, but the Ava of a Ben to an Av. And we serve Hashem just like a son would serve as his father out of love. So when we say Ashivenu Avinu L'Sarasecha, we're asking Hashem to treat us as a son and teach us Torah. That's a reflection or a personification of the love relationship between a father and a son. But when we say Karvenu Malkeinu Lavodasecha, we're asking Hashem to recognize that we are and strengthen our efforts to become an Eved Neman. An Eved Neman means an absolute commitment to serve Hashem as an Eved to his Melech. And we're asking Hashem, Karvenu Malkeinu Lavodasecha, God, give us the strength to fulfill your mitzvahs, to serve you like an Eved serves a Melech. And that's Karvenu Malkeinu Lavodasecha. So in terms of our fulfillment of mitzvahs, we identify ourselves as Avodim, and therefore Karvenu Malkeinu Lavodasecha. This is our expression of our great will and craving desire to serve Hashem like a servant who's totally loyal to his king, but at the same time, our great desire to be like Bnei HaMelech, to have a special role or a special relationship with the king as Bonim for the Ava of teaching us Torah, as we saw before, that Hashem grants us new insights, the Taz says, on a constant basis in our Torah study. Now, Hachziri. Say again.
This is all tour.
Now let's go on to another part of the bracha. Hachzirenu b'tshuva shleima lefanecha. Very strange. We start with Hashivenu Avinu l'sorasecha, which is a blessing or a request for Torah, and as we amplify this, that Hashem should teach us Torah like a father to his son. And then Achzirenu b'tshuva shleima lefanecha. Now, wouldn't it make sense that the first bakosha, which is Atachoni Lodom Das, that should be the kickoff of Hashivenu Avinu l'sorasecha? In other words, Torah is not about tshuva. Torah is about the intellectual study of Torah. That would be more appropriate for Atachonei Lodom Das. So if the bracha had integrated Atachonei Lodom Das with Hashivenu Avinu l'sorasecha, that would be a perfect match. That would be min bimino. But instead, Hashivenu Avinu l'sorasecha was omitted from Atachonei Lodom Das, and instead it was placed in the bracha of Hachzirenu b'tshuva shleima lefanecha, where we ask for tshuva. So why is it that in the middle of this bracha of Hashivenu Avinu l'sorasecha for Torah, for Limud Torah, we inject the theme and we shift the theme to tshuva shleima lefanecha? In order to answer this question, we're going to ask, what's the purpose of Torah? Or, if I flip it around, why is it that we need Torah for tshuva? Why is Torah so intricately related or connected to tshuva? And the answer is chet. What brings us to chet? The Gemara says in Kiddushin, God creates a Yetzahara, and the Yetzahara is constantly tempting us and alluring us to sin. But at the same time, Hashem granted us a power, an antidote to sin, and that's called Torah. And the Gemara establishes in Kiddushin that im atem oskim b'Torah, God says if you'll study the Torah, ein atem nimsarim b'yodah, you will not be given to the powers of the Yetzirah. Here, if you're following me in the text, we're up to page 3. Mm-hmm. Now the key principle that underlies this Gemara in Kiddushin is that without studying the Torah, we have no chance to overcome the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is so powerful that without Esek HaTorah, it's meaningless. So when we want to embark upon a process of tshuva and the proper moment of what we call here tshuva in tefillah is when we get to Hashivenu Avinu l'sorasecha v'achzirenu b'tshuva shleim fenecha, we have to start that bracha and introduce it with Torah. Because otherwise, the whole process of tshuva is really an exercise in futility. But after Hashivenu Avinu l'sorasecha, you know, Hashem is going to strengthen us and He's going to teach us Torah. maybe we'll close the door if we can. Then we're ready for Hachzireinu b'tshuva shleim v'necha. Because in order to do tshuva, we have to overcome the, you know, the forces of evil that brought us down in the past. You know, we slipped and we fell, and now we have to get up back on our feet. How do we do that? It's only through Hashiveinu Avinu l'sarsecha. And at this point, the Shvilei Pinchas quotes the Birchei Yosef. The Birchei Yosef is authored by the Chidah, and the Chidah writes the following.
That do you know he quotes?
The Chidah.
Oh, the Chidah. Yeah.
The Chidah. Rav Chaim
David
Azulai. Correct. And what does the Chidah have to say? He has another element to this Avinu in the Brach of Tshuva. And he says the following. Why is Tshuva so, in a sense, uniquely related to Klal Yisrael? Again, any nation of the world could do Tshuva. But we find over and over again throughout Tanakh that Hashem addresses the people of Israel with the mitzvah of Tshuva. What is unique about the people of Israel that links them up to the mitzvah of Tshuva? And he says the following. We have a pasuk that says, Yisa Hashem panav eilecha. We have another pasuk that says, Hashem lo yisa panav. And the Gemara and the Medrash try to reconcile these two psukim. Asa Tshuva, no se lo panav. Hashem shows a favoritism towards someone who does Tshuva. If he doesn't do tshuva, lo yisa panav. And then the pasuk says, he saw Hashem panav eilecha. Eilecha v'lo le'uma acheres. So this concept of tshuva seems to be addressed in a very unique way to Klal Yisrael. Eilecha v'lo le'uma acheres. And the question is why? Why should the Goyim be less, you know, participants, lower than Klal Yisrael in the midst of tshuva? And perhaps the answer is the following, that the Jewish people, in their relationship to God, have a double relationship. If you remember, we discussed before, we wear two hats. We not only wear the hat of Melech HaTorah, that you are a king and we are your avodim, right, as the Torah says, avodahem, but we're also banim l'Hashem Elokeichem. In the case of Goyim, on the other hand, all it says is Melech, as David HaMelech formulates it, and we'll see it in other Nevi'im, Malach Elokim al Goyim. God's relationship to the nations of the world is only exclusively that of a Melech. Or as Yirmiyah says it, Mi lo yiracha Melech HaGoyim. So with regard to the Goyim, it always says Melech. It doesn't say banim. Now, we have two rules that are established by the Gemara in Kiddushin, and they both pertain to Mechila. One rule addresses the case of a father, whether he can be Mochel on his cover. The other addresses the case of a Melech, whether the king can be Mochel on his cover. And the Gemara comes to two opposite conclusions. With regard to an Av Shemochel Kvodu Kvodu Mochel, father could be Mochel his son. With regard to a Melech, Melech Shem Mochel Kvodo Ein Kvodo Mochel. The Malchus is not, doesn't lend itself to Mechila. And here's the difference as far as Tshuva is concerned. When we come to the Ribono Shel Olam, in this paragraph of Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha, we open up by saying Avinu. And the word Avinu means that God, we as the Jewish people, as Bonim Atem, have a special relationship, a special, shall we say, a shot at tshuva, because you are our father, and Av Shemochal Kvodu Kvodu Mochal. And here's where we're presenting our credentials for tshuva. So when we say Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha, what we're saying is that, you know what, Hashem, you gave us the Torah. The Torah is the blueprint of the universe. The Medrash is very famous, that saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Stakel Baraisa Ubar Alma. He looked into the Torah and he created the world. Breishis Bar Elokim, with Reishis, which is the Torah, Hashem creates the world. So in a certain sense, if you talk about a king, and a king has what's called a Sharvit, then the Sharvit of the king, in this case the king of kings,
scepter,
is the Torah itself.
Scepter,
right? So he says the following. A guy is not allowed to learn Torah. And if he does so, he steals from Bnei Yisrael. Because the Torah says, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Morosh, a lot of Morosh v'olehem. Ben Noach also in Torah is like he's using the Sharvit of the Melech, and that's a chiyuv misa. But Klal Yisrael, we are banim l'Hashem Elokeichem, and therefore we're allowed access to the Torah, and we can look into the treasuries of the King, who's our Father, and find the Sharvit, and we can use the Sharvit for ourselves. We can enjoy the Torah, and it can become a tremendous tool for us. So Chaviv and Yisrael Shenikron Bonim LaMakom, what gives us that special status of Bonim? And it says in the Mishnah, Chaviv and Yisrael Shenitan Lahem Klichemda, that Hashem gave his Klichemda, meaning his Torah, over to Klal Yisrael. So this is the great status of the Jewish people. And we can now really appreciate why the bracha for tshuva begins with Hashiveinu Avinu L'Soras Secha. And here, if you're following in the text, we're on the left column of page 3. Hoshea Novi, which we read as Haftorf Yom Kippur, Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha Ki Keshalta Bo'onecha Kechui Machem Dvarim V'Shuvu El Hashem. What does it mean? Chui machem dvarim. The word dvarim is a catchword, is a secret password for the Torah. Like, for example, it says at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, it's Hadvarim Eile Dibra Hashem. Dvarim is a reference, is a secret password for the Torah itself. So when it says chui machem dvarim, it's giving us a key to how to achieve tshuva. If a person dedicates himself to dvarim, to the study of Torah, that's a skula, that's going to give him a power for tshuva. When a person studies Torah and he takes advantage of the Sharvit Shel Melech, he's able to reveal the deeper desire or will of the king. And if he's able to do so, then certainly he could do tshuva. Why? Because tshuva means to fulfill the will of God. And once again, as we said, this is the great klichemda that we, the people of Israel, as banim, are able to enjoy the benefit of the Sharvit of the Melech, and therefore we again activate the principle of Av Shemachal Kvodo Kvodo Machal. If, on the other hand, a person is not dedicated to the study of Torah, then he's saying, you know what, I'm not a ben, you know, a ben who wants to study Hashem's Torah and my father's Torah, but rather I'm an eved. No, if I'm an Eved, then my relationship is that of an Eved to a Melech. And Melech Shemachal Kvodeinu Kvodeinu Machal. So therefore, Kui Machem Dvarim Ushuachem, if you'll dedicate yourself to Torah, you become a Ben, then Hashem will receive you in Tshuva, because Hashem receives a Ben because of Shemachal Kvodeinu Kvodeinu Machal. Now the Torah, if you recall, said that Hashiveinu Avinu L'Soras Secha is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, obligated to teach his Torah like a father has to teach his son. So therefore, when we study the Torah, we're really, in a sense, giving our Kadosh Baruch Hu the opportunity, Kaviyochel, right, to be mekayim his mitzvah, because Hashem fulfills the mitzvahs we saw in the Yerushalmi of Talmud Torah. So you know what? Hashem says, I'll make you a deal. You give me the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Torah, I'll give you the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva. And it means that Hashem says, I'm going to act as a father to a son, and I'm going to teach you Torah, and you gave me a great opportunity by coming to participate in this Torah, to learn from me so I can teach you. Then Hashem says, you know what? If you're a son, and you're giving me the opportunity as a father to fulfill my mitzvah vis-a-vis my son, then Av Shemachal Kvodo Kvodo Machal, then I can be Mochal you, and hence you can do tshuva. Sashivedu Avinu L'Soras Secha means I'm going to be a son, Hashem, you're going to be the father, you're going to teach me Torah. As a result of the Torah that you teach me, I'm going to be Mezachi you in this mitzvah of teaching Torah as a father teaches. Well, Hashem now, quid pro quo, says if you're going to be my son, then I'm going to have the compassion of a father and a son, Kirachim Aval Bonim, and Mel Shemachal Kvodo. Now we're ready, Fachzirenu, B'tshuva Shleim Alfanecha. So the beginning of this bracha and the end of the bracha are two sides of a coin. They're very much integrated. We start with Hashiveinu Avinu L'Soras Secha, then we continue with Hachzirenu B'tshuva Shleim Alfanecha, because as a result of our Esek HaTorah, Hashem reveals His role, with a capital H, as our Father, and then he's willing to be mekabelos b'tshuva and to be mochel on his kavod. And here we're up to the fourth page, so we might actually finish this maimer today if Hashem is good to us. Okay, we started with the tour again. Hashiveinu Avinu Sarsech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now fulfills his obligation, so to speak, as a father to teach us Torah. Now we want to take a look at the Belzer Rebbe. The Belzer Rebbe, which you'll see on the top of page 4, says that the mitzvah of Limud Torah is really li'atzma. First and foremost, you have to teach yourself Torah. Once you teach yourself Torah, then you can teach the Torah to your children. And this is all part of one great mitzvah. Study Torah so that you can teach the Torah. In this case, teach the Torah to your children. The Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvahs actually combines in the 11th mitzvah both the mitzvah to study Torah, the mitzvah to pass on the Torah, v'shinan tov lo'anecha, to your children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to teach us that the complete ideal perfection of the mitzvah of Limud Torah, which is the teaching of the father to his son, is only possible when a person studies Torah and then he studies Torah with his children. If he doesn't study with his children, okay, fine, he fulfills the mitzvah of study of Torah, but that's not even half the mitzvah, because the Torah never says study Torah. The Torah says teach Torah to your children. We have to study Torah so that we can teach Torah. If that be the case, then we perhaps could understand a very strange comment in the Medrash. The Medrash says already 2,000 years before the creation of the world, the Torah was in existence. And the Medrash derives it from various psukim, in Tanakh, in Mishle, and in Sefer Tehillim. Now, what's going on? The Torah was... where? I mean, who is holding on to the Torah these 2,000 years before creation? The answer is, it was in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way the Medrash describes it is that Torah Meres Shehoisa Eitzal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shashuim Yom Yom. That on a daily basis, actually each day is 1,000 years, because of the Pasuk Elef Shanim Ki Yom. So Yom Yom means 1,000 years plus another 1,000 years. And for 2,000 years before creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being mishtasheah. He's, so to speak, enjoying the Torah. He's learning the Torah.
2,000 years before creation?
Before creation.
Give him the Torah.
Before creation. This is before creation. So now, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing over here? He has the Torah up in Shamayim. He hasn't yet created the world. And he's enjoying the Torah. Well, we said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is formulated in the Torah as not studying Torah, but rather teaching Torah. Who's HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaching Torah to? There's no universe. He hasn't yet created the universe. So the answer is Hashem is studying Torah on some sort of conceptual level, but he's not passing the Torah on to Klal Yisrael. So it's going to take a long time until he transmits the Torah to Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai. So why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu so profoundly desires to give the Torah, that Klal Yisrael should receive the Torah at Har Sinai? The answer is, in a very strange sort of way, that God is incomplete vis-a-vis his mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Because again, although he can be mishtasheh with the Torah, but he's not teaching the Torah. And the main mitzvah, the purpose of the mitzvah, is to teach Torah. So God is very interested and very excited about the fact that Klal Yisrael will receive the Torah. So when he creates the world, he says Bracious, as Rashi says, Bishvil HaTorah Shenikrais Racious. Bishvil Yisrael Shenikrai Racious. It means that we will receive the Torah. God creates the world for the purpose of Torah. What it means on a deeper level is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world so that Klal Yisrael will receive the Torah, and then now he can be mashlim, he can complete his mitzvah of Limud Torah, that for 2,000 years he's studying Torah on his own, but now he's able to pass on the Torah. So Hashem, as the father, is now fulfilling his mitzvah as a father to teach Torah. And if that be the case, then let's begin to understand the comment in the Debay Eliyahu Rabbah, which you'll see here in the middle column, On the pasuk in Eicha, it says Shivchi Kamayim Libech Nochach Pnei Hashem. Mikan Omru Kol Talmud Chacham She Yosef V'Korav V'Shona V'Osek B'Torah. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yosef Kenegdo V'Korav V'Shona Ima. Which means that God is the Nosein HaTorah on a constant basis, as we saw in the Taz. Now let's swing back to our original question. Why is it so important that we come forward with the Shtar Yuchsin? And that's the main theme of Parshas Bamidbar before Matan Torah. And the answer is going to be the following. The nations of the world say that we have a Shaychus to Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to them, bring me a Shtar Yuchsin. And they're not able to do so. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, Se'u es Rosh Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael Mishpachosam, that we are able to bring a Shtar Yuchsin. What is the point of this Shtar Yuchsin? The Gemara says in Masechta Brachos that we have three avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And we are banim la'makom, we are considered children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'schus the avos. So it means that the Shtar Yuchsin is really going to give us the stature of banim. And as we said, the whole purpose of the Torah is to allow Hashem to teach us the Torah, transmit the Torah, because Hashem is a father and we are his banim. And therefore, when we bring a Shtar Yuchsin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we are saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that we are your banim, and we can prove it because we have a Yuchsin that goes all the way back to the Avos. And the Avos are the Merkava. The Avos are the original Banim to Hashem, and we come from those Banim. So we are directly linked to Hashem as Banim. Now, it makes sense that Hashem is going to choose us, His Banim, as the nation that will receive the Torah. And if this be the case, perhaps we can understand the words of the Shalah HaKadosh, and this you'll see on the left column. You remember that when Moshe goes up the mountain, the Malachim say, well, what's man doing here? He doesn't deserve it. So he says, Sodeinikim Malach Hashas Kitrigu, Ma Enosh Kitiskirana, why are you remembering man to give him the Torah? Kihu Muksha Lakabal Tumah Velachto, he's guilty of sin. How are you going to give him Torah? And the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns in the Gemara and Shabbos to Moshe Ben, he says, hold on to the Kisei HaKavod and give him an answer. Klomar says the Shalot Tachzor V'Tomer L'Malachim Sheyesh Takana Li'Adam. Why? Because even though man is guilty of sin and polluting himself, he's also capable of doing tshuva. And what does that mean? Why do we get the Torah? Because we're capable of doing tshuva. And the answer is the fact that we're capable of doing tshuva more than any other nation is because of Kirachem of Albanim and of Shemachal Kvodo Kvodo Machal. It's because of our relationship as a Ben. So as a result of our relationship of our Ben, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was studying Torah for 2,000 years before creation, but that's up in the Malachim want the Torah, they're not Banim. Who is Banim? Banim is Klal Yisrael, they're capable of sin, but as Banim, they're capable of doing tshuva. So Hashem says, I'm going to make you a deal. I'm going to give you the Torah, you're going to facilitate my ability to fulfill my mitzvah as a father to pass on the Torah, and in exchange for that, I'm going to give you the ability to do tshuva, because I'm going to kirachim av al banim av shemochal kvodo mochal. And he finishes this essay in the last paragraph by saying that when we dedicate ourselves to the study of Torah together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we achieve that great level of Hashos Hashchina, God is with us. And that is because Hashem is going to bring us the bracha as a result of the fact that He's teaching His own children Torah. And we, on the other hand, are zocha to this great mitzvah to be partners with Hashem in the study of Torah. And now it's Kuchabricha, Rice of Israel, Chadhu, it's one unity of God, His Torah, and Klal Yisrael. And that's what Kabbalah HaTorah is all about. Yirotzon, we should be zocha in Mitzvah of this Chag HaShavuos through the Midos of Anova. And also by asking Hashem, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha, by being your children to the Mitzvah Talmud Torah, then we'll be ready for the Shechina, the great encounter of Kabbalah HaTorah. Kein Yirotzon. Amen.